The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's June the 7th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few minutes, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain out of Terre Haute, Indiana will join us to take a look at the cash grain market. In the agricultural news for the day, a couple of stories out of Washington, D.C., one on the death tax and the potential repeal of the estate tax, the other on ethanol and something called 25 by 25, and no, it's not a pole building. We'll also talk with Drew Lerner today. He's a World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. That'll happen just after the bottom of the hour. And along the way, we'll hear a story from University of Illinois Extension and the FarmDoc website, where the Excel spreadsheets have been updated to make it easier for you to download them. That all happens on this Wednesday edition of your Closing Market Report.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolandagrienergy.com.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The July wheat at 387 and three quarters, up 2 3/4 for the day. September futures were up 4 1/4 at 403 1/2. July wheat in Kansas City at $4.87 a bushel, up 8 3/4. July corn today, 251, up 3 1/4. September futures at 262 3/4, up 3 1/4. And December futures at 276 3/4, up 3 1/4. March contract in the corn pit, 287 1/4. They were up 2 3/4 for the day. July soybean futures, $5.97, up 3 1/2 on the day. August contract at 603 3/4, up 3 cents. September futures, 610 1/2, up 4 1/2. And November beans, 624 1/2. They were up 5 1/2 for the day. Bean meal futures, July contract, $182.10, up $1.20. July bean oil up, or rather down 8 cents at $24.95. August feeder cattle from the Mercantile Exchange, $109.40. They were off 45 cents for the day. June live cattle at $80.35 were up 12 1/2. And the June lean hogs finished higher, up $1.12 1/2 at $71.42 1/2 for the day. Outside markets, crude oil trading $70.83 a barrel for the July contract, down $1.67. The CRB index at 343.10. That's off 168. And the Dow now at 10,995. It's down 6 for the day.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange, as he always does on Wednesday afternoon, Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon.
It's good to have you on board with us this afternoon. Tell us what's been happening in the marketplace, please.
Okay, let's go to yesterday afternoon. We understand there was some additional by Iran to talk to the U.S. about their nuclear problem. And as a direct result of that, we saw further liquidation in the commodity world, particularly in gold and silver and crude oil. And the day before, we saw some jawboning by the Federal Reserve Chairman Bernanke. And as a result of that, we saw the commodity prices worry and take some deflation out of the marketplace. During the trading day, right after the opening, commodity funds at least pushed corn, soybeans, and wheat before the 40-day moving average. And before, by the end of the day, we were trading higher in all three major pits and closed above the 40-day moving average. As I mentioned with Jay Pierce, John Davis at the annual prestigious milling and baking seminar in Kansas City, Missouri, basically talked about the hot, dry summer potential. And lo and behold, Drew Lerner came out with basically the same kind of a forecast based on the 18-year cycle. and the markets basically caught a breath of fresh air and closed higher for the day.
That 18-year cycle, of course, referred to as the Benner cycle and often touted by Iowa State specialist in that area, Elwin Taylor. What have you seen in the wire service from other places?
Well, as far as the general tone in the commodity market, you know, south of here, we're getting reports people still very busy planting soybeans. East of here, we're getting the same thing, and of course the stands are very erratic. There is this general tone of the attention getting headlines, you know, with the stock market down basically every day this week, the gold and silver market down, and the corn, soybeans, and wheat being down and closing higher. I think it was very, very significant in the shorter-term weather forecast. You know, we're going to basically go out to the weekend for our next shot, and then some people are even touting some sort of a major problem on the extended models. But, you know, near-term, we need a drink of water, particularly in the northern part of Nebraska and western Iowa in a big way. And as we generally are looking at here is that crops are off to basically a fairly good start in central Illinois.
Do you think this is too early to really stage a weather-based market, although granted it is?
Well, I think it's not, and I think it's for the simple reason it's in corn that we're focusing a great deal of attention. And, of course, I even hear this with the commodity gurus on CNBC, is this. The corn is the basic fundamental commodity. Generally, with the freedom to farm, it's incentive to plant corn. If we can only get something on a subpar 80 million acres of corn planted this year, think what next year is, because it's going to be hard to coax more corn acres out of the South. We know that fertilizer prices are going to be pretty high. So let's say big deal if we have $3 corn and still high-priced fertilizer. Can we get 82 million acres or 3 million acres to compensate demand? And that's where the marketplace and the commodity speculator has everybody's attention. We do have a fairly adequate carryover of corn, but the problem is a year from now, the market is leapfrogging over this kind of a carryover situation into next year, looking at a situation where it does augur well for good prices. Make that on top of it a potential if we do cut the yield 2 to 3 bushels to the acre, and then we have the ingredients of a very exciting commodity market that rivals, let's say, 88 or some of those other years.
Tell me about how producers might take advantage of the long-term look at this in marketplace and what you're suggesting in terms of storage options, whether they should just own it on paper and get rid of cash. What kind of ideas do you have?
Well, our number one impression is that the farmer probably has sold enough. This year, this coming production and the following year as well.
You're thinking 30 or 40%
probably. I think that, that's a bunch. And I think they've gone out and sold a ton of it. And as a result of that, we do look for, some kind of ownership. Now, our general impression is that it seems like, weather watchers are in complete disagreement on the exact timing, but my hunch is that the market doesn't give much room for error in the corn pits in Chicago, and as a result of that, that's the reason I'm a little friendly to that commodity.
And soybeans?
Soybeans are, completely different fundamentally, but they're very stubborn on the bullish side here in price action. Actually, beans were the first to rally in today's trade. My general impression is we've done a good job of marketing old crop soybeans, a person can always err a little bit on selling, but I don't really have the urge to sell any new beans because the trend is up, and we like to follow the trend.
All right. We appreciate you being with us
today. Have a profitable day, Todd.
You too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Joins us out of his Oakland office each and every Wednesday afternoon.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
At the bottom of the hour, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated. Ed Kieser forecast for this afternoon says in the northern and western parts of Illinois, mostly sunny in northwestern Indiana and east central and southern Illinois, a mix of clouds, some sunshine there, a few isolated showers and thunderstorms will pop up. Tonight in the eastern part of Indiana, mostly cloudy, scattered showers, thunderstorms early, the clearing overnight, elsewhere clear to partly cloudy. Lows this evening from 58 in the north to 63 in southwestern Illinois. By the way, a severe thunderstorm watch in effect for much of eastern and southern Indiana and portions of southwestern Illinois until 10 tonight. In today's agricultural news, lawmakers held a Washington, D.C. press conference this morning to announce the introduction of a concurrent House-Senate resolution calling on the U.S. to get 25% of its energy from renewable sources by the year 2025. House Ag Committee Chairman Bob Goodlatte said the 25 by 25 goal makes sense given the global geopolitical realities of the current petroleum-based economy.
I see it as a great opportunity with an outcome far better for our future and future generations than our current path. After all, it is clearly better to depend upon our nation's farmers and forest landowners for our energy needs than it is to count on the militants, revolutionaries, and fanatics who by sheer historical accident happen to sit atop some of the world's most abundant oil reserves.
Lawmakers in attendance at the 25 by 25 press conference included Iowa Republican Senator Chuck Grassley and Colin Peterson, the ranking Democrat on the House Ag Committee, who said he believed the 25 by 25 goal was not only achievable, but would likely be exceeded in the next 19 years. Let's stay in Washington, but move to other legislation. The House passed permanent repeal of the estate tax, called the death tax by its opponents over a year ago. Now it's the Senate's turn, and it is expected they could consider repeal of the tax as soon as tomorrow. Permanent death tax repeal is popular among many major farm groups, and a bipartisan group of farm state senators, including Chuck Grassley and Ben Nelson. But according to Grassley, elimination of that tax is not likely to make it through the Senate. That's why Grassley and Nelson both believe the likely outcome this week is a compromise, something less than full death tax repeal. They say that will probably mean a $5 million exemption and a 15% tax rate. The National Farmers Union is among the farm groups actively promoting a compromise. And due to the federal budget deficit and need to pay for natural disasters, American Farm Bureau Federation delegates have also agreed to support something less than outright repeal of the death tax. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association, however, continues to lobby for complete repeal of the tax. Speaking of compromise in Washington, it appears agriculture will have to settle for a much smaller disaster aid package than hoped. There are reports House and Senate leaders have struck a tentative deal that would call for a much smaller ag disaster assistance package, far smaller, in fact, than the $4 billion package approved by the Senate. American Farm Bureau Farm Policy Specialist Mary Kay Thatcher says the industry's known not to expect the $4 billion figure for some time. She says the half a billion amount would be used for droughts and hurricanes and not for energy assistance. Thatcher says energy help has been a tough sell on Capitol Hill, given the fact that other citizens have also been negatively impacted by rising energy costs. But because it's an election year, Thatcher says agriculture may still have another chance. She says farm lobbyists will be watching to see if farmers and ranchers are facing additional disasters this year, including more droughts, with the idea of combining a disaster package for 2005 and 2006 before November. Now to Dallas, Texas, where sessions on dry grind processing, biotechnology, and value-added opportunities for corn growers highlighted the first full day of activities at the National Corn Growers Association's Corn Utilization and Technology Conference. The CUTC is the premier technology conference that focuses on corn products. More than 300 people attended Vijay Singh's Dry Grind Processing Technology session, which looked at advancements in ethanol production from dry grind ethanol facilities. The CUTC continues through today. For more information, visit their website at CornTechConf. That's CornTech Conference. CornTechConf, CONF.org. www.corntechconf.org. And finally today, USDA has a home loan program. In support of National Home Ownership Month, Ag Secretary Mike Johanns today announced special eligibility considerations for low and moderate income home loan applicants who are purchasing newer energy efficient homes. Under the special program called Home Energy Advantage, the qualifying ratios used to determine an applicant's ability to repay a home loan may be exceeded by up to 2 percentage points if an energy efficient home is purchased. All new homes that are built to meet the 2001 International Energy Conservation Code or a subsequent comparable code are considered energy efficient and eligible for the 2 percentage point increase in the qualifying ratios. Existing homes, by the way, that meet that same standard or are being retrofitted to meet it are also eligible. The program is a nationwide pilot and will operate for the next 18 months. Further information on rural programs is available at local USDA rural development offices or by visiting USDA's rural development website. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Up next, we'll learn about the Fast Tools section of the FarmDoc website. It's been updated. Now farmers and others should find that page a whole lot easier to use. As you'll hear, it means the spreadsheets prepared by the Ag Economist at the U of I will be easier to download and update. There are 40 Excel spreadsheets in the University of Illinois stable of agricultural finance tools. Each offers farmers and agribusinesses a way to assess performance on the farm. Travis Farley is an Extension Fast Tools Specialist. He explains how the 40 spreadsheets are divided into 7 categories.
Well, we look at 7 categories of farm business analysis. We range from financial analysis to where we're looking at preparing financial statements, items you hand to your lender, to developing a cash flow plan. We also look at investment analysis, where we analyze making capital investments. You know, should you build that grain bin or should you go out and buy that tract of land? Then we also have a grain management section, where we have a tool there that will help you track your grain inventories and literally manage every bushel of grain from yield to sale.
FAST stands for Farm Analysis Solutions Tools. It's a suite of Microsoft Excel spreadsheets designed to assist those in agriculture make better decisions via user-friendly computer programs. FAST aids users in performing financial analysis, assessing investment decisions, and evaluating the impacts of various management decisions, says Travis Farley.
In our risk management feature, we've added some crop insurance tools. So on the FarmDoc website, we have a crop insurance section that has some internet-based tools. Well, we've now converted all of those into Microsoft Excel spreadsheets and included them on the FAST tools section. So rather than being required to go online to use some of these crop insurance tools, you can now download them.
Those who do will need a copy of the computer program Microsoft Excel version 97 or later for most of the tools. They'll all work on Excel 2000 or later. The spreadsheets are popular, with downloads through the end of 2005 approaching 20,000. The most often downloaded files include one analyzing whether or not it is financially worthwhile to build a grain bin for on-farm storage. The FAST Tools spreadsheets are located on the FarmDoc website. The address is www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Joining us on this Wednesday afternoon to take our look at the cash grain market is Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain out of Terre Haute, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Kay. Good afternoon, and it's a beautiful afternoon. I'm afraid we have a little problem with our phone system this afternoon. You're cutting in and out, but I'll see if I can get that fixed. Tell me a little bit about how farmers have completed, if they have yet, planting in your area.
We've got all stages going on here. A lot of them are completely done. A lot of them are replanting as much as 4 to 5 acres. We've still got maybe 20 to 25% of the beans to put in. We've still got a ways to go, and the crops don't look all that well.
So you're suffering through it this time because of dry weather, I take it?
Because of wet weather. We just can't get in the ground. I mean, it's just too wet.
I'm sorry. I'm in the wrong part of the state of Illinois and should have been in Indiana where you are in the southeastern part of that state. You've had a lot of wet weather down there. I was over in western part of Illinois for some reason in my mind. So you're how far behind are you then in that area?
Well, like I said, the corn's pretty much history, and there was some not get planted that probably won't. They probably switched to beans, but there's been a lot of replant, a lot of just spotting in corn. And like I said, I'd say there's probably 25% of the beans have to go in the ground. There's a lot of bean acres not planted yet.
Farmers are probably desperately worried at this time then?
They're pretty concerned, and I think they're more concerned with planting than selling anything. And even with that run-up we had Thursday and Friday, there was just not a lot of farmers selling. They just don't seem to be too concerned about what's in their bins right now. But once they get this crop in the ground, then they'll start being concerned with that. But, yeah, there's some concern out there because there's areas, especially southeast of here, where they're still water standing in the field. They've had rain today. You know, where we haven't had any here, they've had half to three-quarters of an inch over there, so they're really behind.
And what's the corn crop look like?
I talked to a gentleman earlier today, and he said the corn that he planted the 1st of May was maybe a foot taller, a little higher. He said it should be a lot further along. So I haven't had one farmer say they've got really, really good-looking stands at all here yet.
It's interesting. I was in the northern part of the state on Monday, north-central part of the state up in the La Salle, Peru area, and the crops there just look really good. The corn looks really quite nice at this point. So it varies from one part of the state to the other. As you go further to the east in Indiana, do things get better?
Not really. They're still pretty wet over there. I think they finished up a little bit earlier than we did here, but it was so daggone cold. You know, that beans just didn't emerge, and I went to the airport just a week ago last Sunday, and stuff looked okay, but there was still a lot of fields not touched, and some you couldn't tell if it was coming up or not, where they no-tilled in the corn stubble, but it's just not that good over here, Todd. It really isn't.
Still talking about a lot of replant on both beans and corn, I suppose?
Both. I talked to a gentleman today, and he replanted, I think, 400 acres of corn and 150 acres of beans, and some are just replanting beans, and it's just all over the place. It really is.
Boy, that's really ugly. That's a really ugly start to the season there. What are you telling farmers about how to go about marketing the crop that they really don't have in the ground yet?
Well, here again, I think they really rushed, and they contracted a lot. You know, there at the beginning when we had this really big run up there, you know, 3 or 4 months ago, and we're like 200% ahead of where we were a year ago. So right now, I think most of them that normally do forward contract are pretty comfortable with their positions. They know it's going to be a wild summer, all tied to inflation and whatever the weather does. So at this point, I think they're satisfied with their new crop sales, Todd. I really do.
And what are your bids for the day?
All right, a cash corn today is $2.31, cash 573, and cash wheat is $3.28.
We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana, joining us on this Wednesday afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market. In just a couple of minutes, we should be able to talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast here in the Midwest and across the globe. Your regional newscast comes up next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Illinois' U.S. Senators Dick Durbin and Barack Obama are urging Honda to consider Illinois as a site for a $400 million auto plant expected to make 200,000 vehicles a year. Governor Rob Blagojevich's administration confirmed Monday that the governor had met with company officials recently about building a new plant in Illinois. Published reports suggest that Illinois may be proposing a site near Fithian in western Vermilion County for the plant. Officials in Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan have also declared their interest in the new Honda plant. Champaign County Board Chair Barb Wasacki says she'll recommend that newcomer Ron Peters and incumbent Vicki Stewart be appointed to new terms on the Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit Board. Wasacki is not recommending a new term for George Friedman, the MTD board chairman. Friedman has become the target of critics of the Mass Transit District's forced annexations. The County Board Policy and Appointments Committee will consider the CUMTD appointments tonight. Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels has appointed a 7-member board to oversee the leasing of the Indiana Toll Road to a group of foreign investors. Unless it's blocked by a pending lawsuit, operation and maintenance of the 157-mile highway will be turned over to the investors June 30th. Afghanistan's ambassador to the United States says a strong agricultural economy is vital to his rebuilding nation, and he's turning to the University of Illinois and Southern Illinois University for advice. Ambassador Saeed Jawad says the two schools already have helped to lift up Afghan farmers through training programs begun almost 3 years ago. Jawad met in Urbana yesterday with administrators and professors from the two schools. For 33 continuous hours, rescue teams from around Illinois will test their skills at rescuing people in a variety of situations at the University of Illinois campus. The U of I's Fire Service Institute is holding the 2-day disaster exercise this week. Associate Director Mac McCaslin says the scenarios include rescuing people from collapsed buildings, confined spaces, and tall structures. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
And I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Information Advantage. This is WILL Urbana. We're joined now by Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon.
Tell me about here in the Midwest, rainfall, sunshine, what do we have on tap?
I think both are definitely in order here. We have a set of showers and thunderstorms moving through Indiana into Ohio and Michigan here at this hour. That's just one of many small little waves of rain that are expected to move across the region as we go through the next full week to maybe as much as 10 days. The precipitation should be frequent enough to maintain a generally favorable outlook for most of the Corn Belt. We are going to have some holes out there, though, in the western and maybe a few northern portions of the production region that may not get a great deal of quantity out of the rainfall that's expected, and that means that some drier biases will prevail. Now, right now, our driest areas in the Corn Belt are actually up there in the northwestern part of the region, portions of northwestern Iowa, the eastern Dakotas, parts of Minnesota, and then down further south in portions of Nebraska, Kansas are also dealing with some dryness. And this is something that will be eased somewhat as we move through the next 5 to 7 days. I think enough shower and thunderstorm activity will occur to ease up that drier bias out there. It's not going to eliminate it completely, but it buys us a little bit more time before we have to become overly concerned about the drier bias that's prevailing out that way. For the eastern Corn Belt, though, it doesn't look like anybody's going to be short on moisture for a while. Maybe a few spots up in Michigan and Wisconsin may have less than usual rainfall, but it doesn't mean it's going to be too dry. So then temperatures look like they will be seasonable, slight warmer bias for a little bit, and then we'll turn a little bit cooler perhaps next week. But in general, it's not a bad outlook for this time of the year.
There's some discussion on the longer term and the Benner cycles and a potential for really dry weather the rest of the summer. What's your feeling?
I just released my updated summer outlook this hour or so ago, and I am very much concerned about the situation in the western Corn Belt especially. I expect to see below-average precipitation and above-normal temperatures dominate a large part of that region. I went through a great deal of detailed assessment of the soil moisture situation and water supply conditions right now, and they are poor, and it's not going to take but just a short couple of weeks of net drying across the region to create a stressful environment for crops. Obviously, we already have some issues out there in the northwestern Corn Belt and also in the southwest. There's going to be a huge dome of high pressure that will be prevailing in at least the southern two-thirds of the plains most of the July-August time period, and that ridge will expand to the north and to the east periodically. I fully expect the Delta to run into trouble with moisture this year, as well as most of the western Corn Belt, especially Iowa, Missouri, parts of Nebraska and Kansas, and at times we'll find this expanding into portions of Illinois and maybe reaching into Indiana late in the summer. I think most of the eastern Corn Belt will probably do a lot better than the west will for the next few weeks, next several weeks, actually. It'll probably be late July or August before any issues develop there.
And one final question. We're out of time, so if you could make this definition fairly short, what is the Binner Cycle?
Well, you know, that I don't know that we can do that very quickly here. The bottom line here is that we have a cycle in the atmosphere that does generate below average precipitation and warmer than usual temperatures, and it is a repetitive type pattern. There are patterns like this that occur at 18-year intervals. We've heard about those at times as well. The bottom line here is it's just a cycle in the atmosphere that does repeat itself, and it's very reliable, and it does tend to lean heavily on drier biases.
Thanks much. We appreciate it.
Have a good day.
Drew Lerner with World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City joining us here on the Closing Mark Report on this Wednesday afternoon. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM, helping to create a storehouse of possibilities and products from a single seed. ADM, resourceful by nature.